Kids say the most random things sometimes. Mine are no different. One morning, I was rushing around trying to make sure I knew everyone's schedule for the day, making sure kids had their homework and lunches. Many of you can picture this scenario. As I'm asking different ones questions and if they had certain items, my young son Todd kept interrupting me. Jeffrey, did you brush your teeth? Mom, just a minute. Brandon, do you have your backpack? Mom, just a minute, Todd. Lauren, make sure you have your lunch. Mom! David, what time will you be home from work? Mom! Oh, this kid was not going to let up. I stopped asking all my questions and looked into his eyes. Yes, Todd, what is it? Very seriously, he said, when you get old, I'll spoon feed you your Jell-O. Thank you, Todd. Good to know. One day, the kids had been agitated and fighting all day, and I was fed up. I lost my cool and told them I was sick and tired of all the bickering going on. They needed to learn to get along. That night at supper, my husband asked Todd to pray for the meal. Todd started to pray, and he thanked the Lord for a few things and for the food. And then he said, "And dear Lord, please help Mommy to feel better." I opened my eyes and looked at my husband and thought, "What's he talking about? I feel fine." He continued, "Because she's sick and tired of all the bickering going on around here." Todd was always the funny and random one of the family. I remember our family driving around one afternoon looking for a place to eat lunch. Todd called out, "Hey, we could eat at the Golden Tawn." We all looked over to see what Chinese food place he was talking about, and then I said, "It's called the Golden Tan. It's a tanning salon." And we still laugh about that to this day. But one day when Todd was about 6 years old, he walked into the dining room and said the most random thing I've ever heard him say. "Mom, I might die when I'm young." I said, "Todd, don't say that. I don't want you to die when you're young." He nonchalantly replied, "Well, if God wants me, he wants me, and there's nothing you can do about it." And he turned and walked out of the room. My heart grabbed with fear, but then I tried to quickly dismiss his words as childish thoughts, but I never forgot them. Not long after he made that statement, I was giving him a bath, and I felt some lumps in his right arm. Fear immediately grabbed my heart, and the next day I took him to the doctor. After examining him, the doctor felt it was necessary to refer Todd to a surgeon. In the days we waited to see the surgeon, Satan tormented me with the possibility that the lumps in Todd's arm were cancerous. He seemed to whisper to me over and over that I could plan Todd's funeral because he was going to die. I cried buckets of tears and begged God not to take my baby. I definitely gave in to despair. The lumps were biopsied, and it was later determined that the lumps were not cancerous, but were what the surgeon called fibromas. Relief flooded my heart. I didn't know what a fibroma was, but it wasn't cancer, so nothing else mattered. After meeting with yet another doctor, Todd was finally diagnosed with neurofibromatosis, a genetic disease that causes tumors to grow on nerve endings. After more testing with a geneticist, it was determined that I was actually the carrier of this disease, and we also found out that my oldest son, Brandon, and my daughter, Lauren, had this disease as well. It was a lot of information to process. Thankfully, we found out that the likelihood of any other tumors in Todd's arm or possible future tumors in any of us turning cancerous were actually less than 7%. I was thankful that Todd didn't have cancer, but once again, I was ashamed at my lack of trust in the Lord. The faith I thought I had just been a facade, because when it was tested, I didn't stand strong. I repented of my lack of trust, and as I looked to the future, I felt determined to trust the Lord when I experienced any other trials. In January of 2009, my daughter Lauren had a panoramic scan of her mouth in preparation for braces. This routine revealed that she had a tumor at the base of her skull. I will never forget the day our family doctor called me and told me the news of the tumor and said that Lauren would have to have an MRI to determine if the tumor was cancerous. I asked him if he was nervous, and he replied, "Yes, I am." Satan was right there by my side, tempting me to despair over the fact that I could now lose my precious daughter to cancer. My heart was in agony, but I really tried to trust the Lord and not give in to despair, like I had done with Todd with his recent cancer scare. As we waited for the day the MRI would take place, the verse that meant a lot to me during that waiting period was Psalm 139:16. "Your eyes saw my unformed substance." I read those three words over and over again. Your eyes saw. It's funny that I'd read this particular verse many times, but at this point, I really noticed it. It meant something to me. God saw the way that Lauren was being formed before her birth, and the rest of our family for that matter. He is the one who formed her just like she is. He knows all, he sees all. He sees the mass, he knows exactly what it is. Even though our NF1 disease battles some doctors, God knows all about it, and its complications are no surprise to him. The Lord also brought to mind the fact that David and I had publicly dedicated each of our children to the Lord. In a still, small voice, the Lord spoke to my heart and said, "Did you mean it?" I wondered if I had really given my children to him with my whole heart. That was hard to answer. I really wanted to mean it, but there was a lot at stake. To me, their dedication meant I had to be willing to let God do whatever he wanted to do in their lives and not be bitter. Allow them to suffer without being bitter. Even allow God to take their lives if he chose to do that without being bitter. I know God understands the love of a mother and how hard it was for me. Again, Psalm 139:1 speaks of this. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. He knows me like no one else does. I wanted to have the right spirit with whatever the results of Lauren's MRI would be, but it was just so hard to actually have the right spirit and to mean it. God knew the deepest thoughts of my heart, and there was no fooling him. On the day of the MRI, I had given Lauren some medication from the doctor to calm her a bit. As we were driving to the hospital, Lauren was playing quietly in the back seat, and I was trying desperately not to cry in front of her. I began to quietly sing the song that the church choir had sung just a few days earlier. Be not afraid. The Lord used the words of this song to bring comfort to my hurting heart. We arrived at radiology, and I helped Lauren change into her hospital gown for the procedure. She had big crocodile tears as we waited to go into the MRI room. At one point, she looked up at me and said, "Mommy, am I going to die?" I was trying hard to be brave and not cry myself, but it was so hard to see her so fearful. I told her that the doctors were just looking at something, and I reminded her that God would be with her, and there were a lot of people praying for her. I hugged her, and we prayed together that God would keep her calm and still, and then it was time to go into the MRI room. It was hard seeing the radiologist strap her on the table and place that head shield on her, and it was even harder watching her little body enter the machine, knowing why she was going in there and knowing how afraid she was. I really broke down after she entered the machine. I just did not feel like being brave anymore. Within a minute or two, the Lord drew my attention to her feet, and I noticed how still she was lying. I didn't see her toes move, not a muscle, not one time. I thought she was asleep, and that made me feel at ease. I began to pray for Lauren, and I felt what I could only describe as a blanket of peace come over me. It was cold in the room, and I was shivering, but in that moment, it literally felt like someone had put a blanket on my back and around my shoulders. I knew people were praying on Lauren's behalf, too. I kept praying over and over that Lauren would sense that the Lord was right beside her. After about 25 minutes, the radiologist came in and pulled the table of the machine out to administer contrast to her IV before the last part of the MRI. To my great surprise, Lauren was awake and she had not been asleep at all. God had kept her perfectly still, just like I prayed, and I was amazed. When the last portion of the MRI was finished, the radiologist came and told her that we had gotten clear pictures and that we could leave, and all we could do now was wait for the results. At supper that evening, as different ones were talking, Lauren quietly said to me out of the blue, "Mommy, when I was in that machine, I felt like God had his arms wrapped around me really tight. At first I was shocked, and then I thought, oh, that must have just been that." And my thoughts trailed off, because in the instant of that sinful thought, the Lord spoke to my heart with the loudest inaudible words I've ever heard. "How dare you try to reason this away?" I was startled and realized what an ungodly thought had entered my head. Of course he could be with her in an MRI machine. Why wouldn't he be with his child when she needed him and when so many people had specifically asked him to be with her? When I myself had asked him to be with her, I felt ashamed and rebuked. I then asked Lauren to demonstrate what God's arms felt like. She came up behind me and wrapped her arms around me very tightly. I realized what an answer to prayer God had given me. The whole time that Lauren was in the MRI machine, I kept praying she would know the Lord's presence, that she would know that he was right beside her. But what he was doing was better than that. He was holding her. After I put Lauren to bed that night, she got up and said she wasn't feeling well and asked to sit with me for a while. We started talking about the procedure again, and I said, "Lauren, was it very loud in that machine?" I asked her that because I had earplugs in, and the sound on the machine was so loud to me. She looked at me a little surprised and said, "Not really. I heard music." Surprised, I said, "You heard music?" She said, "Yes, didn't you?" I said, "No, I didn't. What did you hear?" She said, "You know that song, Be Not Afraid? I heard that song." I instantly felt chilled and thought that must have been an amazing experience for her. This time I had no intention of questioning her statement. I knew that the Lord had placed music in the MRI machine to be a comfort to his scared little girl. I knew no music from the hospital was being piped into that room. I told her that it was a precious gift from God to her because I didn't hear the music. She just shrugged her shoulders and said, "Well, I did." It was days later that I realized that God had given us comfort in the exact same song, but for each of us, it was at the exact time we needed it. A few days later, Lauren said, "Mom, when I was in the MRI machine, it felt like God was rocking me, not back and forth like I was on a swing, but like I was in a cradle." I can't imagine what Lauren experienced in that MRI machine, but to me, it must have been something divine, and I'll always be thankful for what the Lord did for her. The results of the MRI were termed uneventful. I thought it was very eventful. The doctors believed that the mass was just a fibroma, a type of benign tumor, just like Todd had on his arm. God is teaching me that it is important not to hold on to my children too tightly. They really belong to God, and he just allows me the privilege of taking care of them for his glory. That's a really sobering thought because I feel like they're mine, but truly they're his. I can't control what he wants to do in their lives. I have to entrust my children to him knowing that he has their best interests at heart, even if he would choose to let them suffer or even take their life. Humanly speaking, it's very hard to entrust my children to the Lord, yet he loves them more than I love them. After the scans and appointments and more waiting than I could bear, I finally got the call from the doctor. It was determined that the tumor, though inoperable, was not cancerous. I felt like I had stopped breathing as I waited for those glorious words. Two cancer scares, both the results of benign tumors. I was hopeful that we could forever put this cancer journey behind us. On May 10th, 2009, I sat in our church with my arm wrapped around my son, Todd. Our pastor had asked me to give testimony of God's goodness in Lauren's life with her recent cancer scare. I was too chicken to stand up in front of our large congregation, so I had my testimony videotaped. I sat there feeling so thankful that the Lord had not asked me to walk through the cancer journey with Todd and Lauren. It had just been a scare. I had no idea that on that exact day, just 4 years later, my life would forever change. For the next 3 years, life seemed to be going along pretty smoothly for our family. However, in the fall of 2012, I noticed a bit of a change in Todd. He had always been so happy. A smile rarely left his face, but lately he seemed a bit agitated. There seemed to be a darkness that came over his usually happy spirit. I had this sense that something was definitely wrong. I couldn't put my finger on anything in particular, but I remember telling my husband one night that I felt like we were in a battle for Todd's soul. As I prayed for my children over the years, my heart's prayer for them would be that they would always love the Lord and walk with him. But if they would ever walk away from the Lord, I wanted him to take them home with him while they still loved him. I even asked the Lord that if he would ever take one of my children to please remind me of my prayer. In September 22nd of that year, our extended family went on a trip to Disney World. My brother and his family were about to return to the mission field for another term, and it was time for all of us to make memories together. It was during that trip that Todd, now 15, began to complain of pain in his side. At first, I thought that maybe he had just gotten bumped around on some rides. But when he was still in pain after returning from our trip, I was concerned and wanted him to see a doctor. After doctor's appointments and scans, a surgeon called me and said that Todd had a large tumor in his abdomen that needed to be biopsied right away. I asked him if he thought it was cancerous. He said, yes, I do. We scheduled the biopsy for October 24th. Satan immediately grabbed onto me and tried to drag me into that all-familiar place of despair, just like he had in the two earlier cancer scares with Todd and the recent cancer scare with Lauren. I cried buckets of fearful tears and begged God not to take my baby. Unfortunately, trust God was not what naturally came to mind. Would my natural response to trials ever be to trust the Lord? For sure, this would not be one of those times. I was falling apart and barely able to function. I mostly stayed holed up in my room so Todd would not see my tears or know my fear. I knew I needed help, so David arranged for us to meet with our pastor. Thankfully, our pastor and his wife were glad to take time to pray with David and me. I wanted our pastor to tell me that God had laid it on his heart to tell us everything would be fine. Instead, he encouraged us to keep our eyes on the Lord and cling to what we knew to that whatsoever things were true. What we knew to be true at this time was that we didn't know if the tumor was cancerous or not, and it would do me no good to worry. Okay. This time of prayer really strengthened me and helped me to refocus my mind on the Lord and to try and fight off the dark whisperings of the enemy. Our pastor suggested that we gather a group of men to pray over Todd. The very next evening, some dear men, all chosen because of their godly influence in our lives, surrounded Todd. With their hands on his shoulders, they prayed for his complete healing. What a precious time it was for all of us, and I was confident God would hear and answer their prayers. After our time of prayer, each man wrapped Todd in his arms for a hug. It was all I could do to hold back my tears. I was deeply touched at the outpouring of love for Todd. Again, this time of prayer greatly strengthened my heart. 3 days later, though physically miserable, Todd was very peaceful going into the biopsy surgery. I tried to keep my emotions under control and to have a peaceful spirit, but my fear and faith were colliding. Some dear friends sat in the waiting room to give us comfort and support as we waited for news from the surgeon. In between our prayer time and the days leading up to the biopsy, I had prayed specifically that when the surgeon opened Todd up, he wouldn't even find a tumor because God miraculously removed it. If by chance the tumor was there, then I prayed that God would allow the entire tumor to be safely removed. In my mind, this would be the way that the doctors and nurses would see the power of God. I carefully laid out these two plans before the Lord and was anxious to see which one of them he would choose to implement. The procedure took about 2 hours and the wait was agonizing. When the surgeon finally appeared in the waiting room, I anxiously asked, "So did you get it all out?" He looked troubled and replied, "Oh no, it took me this long just to get a safe biopsy." I was very disappointed because the surgeon even saw a tumor. Not only did he still see the tumor, but he couldn't even remove it. To be honest, I was disappointed in God. I thought for sure he would have answered everyone's prayers. Did our prayers not accomplish anything? The surgeon told me that a sample of the tumor was sent to pathology and he would let us know the results when they became available. We gave the update to our friends in the waiting room. They wrapped their arms around David and me, and with tears, several prayed for our strength in the days to come. We finished up our prayer time, and I quickly hurried to be with Todd in recovery. 2 days later, Todd was sitting in the hospital chair, and I was staring out the window when the surgeon and another doctor walked in the room. He did not mix words. "It's what I thought. It's cancer. It's called a malignant peripheral nerve sheath tumor." I immediately looked over Todd to see his reaction. What I saw and what I experienced in that moment amazes me to this day. Todd's response was not tears or fear or anger. With a steady voice, he said, "So this is a good thing, right?" I looked at him like he had lost his mind. The doctor looked surprised at Todd's words, but said, "Actually, it is. The tumor can't be safely removed as large as it is, and it wouldn't respond to chemo if it were benign." We had never had any prior discussions with a surgeon as to how we would deal with the tumor if it wasn't malignant. I don't know what made Todd realize that malignancy would actually be a good thing. Todd listened to the surgeon with as much calmness as if he were talking about the daily news. The surgeon finally asked, "Todd, is there anything we can do for you?" Todd calmly replied, "Yes. Would you guys help me get back into the bed?" The surgeon had just told him he had cancer. If it were me, I would have asked a million other questions. The doctors actually laughed as they bumbled around trying to put a patient full of wires back into the bed. They could do major surgery, but this was out of their element. And it was actually kind of sweet to watch them care for Todd. I was surprised at the genuine, complete peace I experienced in that moment. My heart didn't grab in fear, and I did not start crying. Understandably, most teens, upon hearing the diagnosis of cancer, would have dissolved into tears or lashed out in anger. As I said earlier, I had cried buckets of tears in the days leading up to the biopsy and while waiting the results. But in that moment, Todd did not shed a single tear, and neither did I. Isaiah 43:2 says, "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you." The Lord never said in his word that we would not go through any difficulties in life. I thought that in my heart at one point, but the truth is we will go through trials. But he promises to be with us in times of trials. And I can tell you from this experience that God was true to his word. Todd was not just putting on a brave face. He was truly peaceful in that moment, and so was I. I had never before experienced God's power like I did in that moment. The irritableness in Todd's spirit and the darkness that had seemed to come out of nowhere leading up to this moment was nowhere to be found, and we never saw it again. The day after Todd's diagnosis, an oncologist met with us to discuss treatment options. He informed us that although the tumor was currently too large to be safely removed with surgery, he believed that with a chemo regimen, it could be significantly shrunk and then removed with surgery. There was great hope that he could be cured. Although no one wants to hear a cancer diagnosis, God still blessed us in many ways at the hospital. We had loving nurses and a team of wonderful and attentive oncologists. Todd especially seemed to have a bond with the surgeon. I felt like everything was going to be okay after all, and I looked forward to the time when the tumor would be small enough to be removed. God didn't divinely take away Todd's tumor, but I just knew he was going to heal Todd of this cancer, and he would get the glory in that way. Todd's chemotherapy took place over a 3-day period in the hospital, and then he often had to remain in the hospital for a few extra days if his counts were too low. We missed the rest of the family, but our time together was precious. Still, I couldn't wait for all of this to be behind us so we could get back to our normal life. The oncologist hoped that by December or January, the tumor would have shrunk enough to be safely removed. At least that was the plan. By mid-November, Todd had had 2 or 3 rounds of chemo. He seemed to be tolerating the chemo okay, but he began having a lot of pain in his shoulder. One of the oncologists was concerned about this new pain and felt it were best to have another CT scan. I did not like the troubled look I saw in his eyes. Late one night, Todd's surgeon, still in his scrubs, walked into our hospital room. Because of the lateness of the hour, I knew he didn't have good news. He got right to the point and told us that the CT scan revealed that in spite of the chemo, the dangerously large tumor had doubled in size and was wrapped around his vena cava. His condition was very serious. Todd's surgeon continued to speak, but I must admit I was completely lost in my own thoughts. I felt dumbfounded. "Lord," I silently prayed, "so many people are praying for Todd's healing, but you're not answering any of our prayers. What are you doing, God?" Why, I wondered, would God allow a dangerously large tumor to grow even bigger? Why? This is not how prayer is supposed to work. Prayer is supposed to change things for good. My thoughts halted when I heard the surgeon say, "Todd, do you have any questions?" Todd calmly said, "Yes. Did you have a good surgery?" I stared at him in disbelief. Again, there were no tears, there was no display of fear, just peace. I believe the surgeon was as shocked as I was at Todd's response. Once again, the peace Todd displayed to me in that moment was evidence of God's grace when he needed it most. The surgeon told me he was just going to have to do the surgery in the next few days and pick away at the tumor. It was all he could do. But I could tell he was not at peace about the situation. In the silence of our hospital room that night, I poured out my heart to the Lord. I was trying to trust him. He knew my heart's desire was to be an outward example to everyone in the way we handled this trial. But he did not seem to be answering prayer. In my heart, I questioned, what was he doing? How would the doctors and nurses ever see the power of God in Todd's life and in my life if Todd just died like they probably assumed he would? Well-meaning people told me I just needed to have faith and then God would heal Todd. I was doing all I could to have that kind of genuine faith, but it was so hard. I didn't want to outwardly act one way if I didn't feel certain of God's promises in my heart. Over the next few days, I analyzed Todd's mental condition constantly and then tried to come up with various plans for the Lord to implement. After much thought, I came to a conclusion. I get it, Lord. Your plan must be to allow the large tumor to be removed. That's how the doctors will see the power of God. I didn't have a clue of how God would do it, but I felt certain that it had to be his plan. After a few agonizing days of waiting, David and I met with Todd's surgeon and oncologist, and we were told they decided to have Todd transported by ambulance to MUSC in Charleston, where a transplant team would remove the large tumor. Relief flooded my heart. I definitely felt like this was the right decision. In the days leading up to the surgery, and right up to the moment the surgeon wheeled Todd into the operating room, all I saw in my son's life was peace. I couldn't have been more proud of him. Although I was doing all right, I wasn't quite as strong, but I sure tried. It was hard to wait while the surgery took place. I couldn't help but remember how the biopsy didn't go the way we had hoped. Every time the door to the waiting room opened, my heart jumped. I didn't want to see the surgeon so soon because I knew the surgery needed to take a long time in order for it to be successful. After about 3 hours, the transplant surgeon came and spoke to David and me. He was proud to report that he had gotten out the entire football-sized tumor, along with his right kidney, gallbladder, and part of his liver. Although I was relieved and tried to feel excited at what the surgeon had accomplished, for some reason I felt unsettled inside. I tried to brush aside these feelings as we were escorted into the intensive care unit. Seeing Todd with tubes and wires sticking out from all directions was difficult, and I was almost afraid to touch him. He had been through so much in just a few short weeks. My heart ached for him, and I felt sad that I couldn't prevent this trial from happening in his life, and I couldn't take away his pain. I was his mom, and I was supposed to protect him, but I was helpless. After he regained consciousness and the breathing tube was removed from his throat, he immediately motioned for me to come close to him. I thought maybe he wanted a drink, but his first words shocked and humbled me. In a scratchy, weak voice, he said, "Mom, can you tell me what Jesus did for me?" It was all I could do to speak. He got out the whole tumor, Todd. All he could say was, "Oh." It was not a nonchalant response, but more like he was saying, "Oh, thank you, Lord." He closed his eyes as two tears rolled down his cheeks, the first ones I had seen since the whole cancer journey began. Todd didn't ask what the surgeon had done for him. He wanted to know what Jesus had done for him. This was faith in action. I can't describe what it was like as a mother to have a front row seat as I watched God take care of my son. God didn't remove the storm from Todd's life, but he was right with him in the midst of the storm, and my son was clinging to him, and he was at peace. Although the surgery was a success, I continued to have an uneasy feeling inside. David and I spoke with a transplant surgeon privately, and I asked him if he thought Todd's tumor would grow right back. He confidently told me no, he didn't expect the tumor to grow back, and that Todd should go on to live a long and healthy life. Even hearing those words, I was surprised that it didn't give me the confidence he seemed to have. I tried to brush away those feelings and embrace the fact that Todd was now free of this cancerous tumor. After several days of recovery, we returned to Greenville with plans to let Todd's surgeon and oncologist decide if any more treatments would be necessary. Shortly after our return home, Todd went to the cancer clinic for a routine checkup. He had barely eaten for the past few months, and he was extremely thin. With all his clothes on, he only weighed 83 pounds. Todd's oncologist was glad to see him and to hear that the surgery had gone well and was a success, but he felt it was best to admit Todd to the hospital and insert a feeding tube for nourishment and just to give him time to recover physically. You should have seen how happy Todd's nurses were to see him again. I honestly don't think they believed he would survive the major surgery. Even though the surgery was considered a success, unfortunately, there were more challenges ahead. In the span of just a few months, Todd had numerous surgeries. He had the biopsy surgery, the port placement, the tumor and organ removal, surgery to insert a chest tube twice, and then surgery to insert the feeding tube. The feeding tube clogged several times and had to be replaced several times, and every replacement required a surgery. He had more MRIs, CT scans, and blood draws than I can recount. All of these surgeries had taken a toll on his body, yet it seemed that God had finally answered all of our prayers. After spending several days in the hospital, Todd was able to get out just in time to spend Christmas at home. I hadn't had time to do any Christmas shopping, but due to the kindness of dear friends, the space under our Christmas tree was exploding with presents. Although I couldn't shop for presents, my husband and I were able to pull off one huge surprise for our children. They had always wanted a dog, and since Todd had been through so much, it didn't take much to convince my husband that it was now time to get them the puppy they had always wanted. After we opened our Christmas presents, we took our kids to see the puppy that would be theirs in just a few short weeks. They were so excited, and I cried as I saw the joy on their faces, especially Todd's. He had been through so much and deserved this happiness. We were so grateful for all our gifts, but the best gift of all was that Todd was alive and our family was together. We began to hope that the cancer journey was behind us now and that Todd could begin to heal. Our hope was very short-lived. In January of 2013, Todd's oncologist felt that a few more rounds of chemotherapy would be beneficial. Todd was actually in the hospital when he began to have more pain and complications, so his doctor ordered another CT scan. Anxiously, we awaited the test results. In the meantime, Todd had to have a chest tube inserted again that instantly removed 2 liters of fluid. He had a couple more surgeries to try and fix clogged feeding tubes. Todd's health began to rapidly deteriorate before my eyes, and I felt like I was watching him die. I will never forget the tears in the surgeon's eyes or his compassion as he told me the CT scan revealed that there was another tumor growing. This time, it was actually in his vena cava. I looked into this man's eyes, not knowing if he knew Jesus as a Savior or not. Throughout this whole cancer journey so far, he had never mentioned the Lord. I only knew that I wanted my reaction to show him that I knew Jesus as my Savior. He had to see a difference in my life. I definitely knew the Lord's presence at that moment, and although my heart was aching in a way I had never experienced, with tears in my eyes, I told him I knew the Lord did not allow pain without a purpose. I have to place my trust in the Lord for whatever outcome he wanted. In that moment, I didn't have a plan. I knew the surgeon didn't have a plan either. I didn't know how Todd could possibly survive another surgery and had no idea what the next course of action would be for him. The surgeon told me that he and the oncologist would discuss the new findings with the transplant team at MUSC and get back with me. I had to dig deep to fight off tears in front of Todd. All I wanted to do was crawl in the hospital bed with Todd, cry my eyes out, and hold on to him for dear life, but I had to be strong for him. Sometimes Todd did see a few tears, and he was always so sweet, and he would let me hold his hand. He never got mad at me. I tried to plan, scheme, beg God to let this new development be a big mistake. I had no idea what God was doing. A few days later, all of Todd's oncologists and surgeon asked to meet with David and me in the private room. Nothing could have prepared us for what they had to say. The surgeon reported that there was nothing more that could be done for Todd. He said Todd would likely suffer catastrophic death. My mind couldn't comprehend what that meant for Todd. All I knew is that we were devastated. But even in that room, being told the worst news a parent could be told, I knew the Lord's presence. After discussing different options with the oncologist and surgeon, we all decided that it was in Todd's best interest to discontinue treatment and take him home. As the surgeon followed David and me back to Todd's room to talk with him about the tumor, I thought to myself, how do you tell your child the news that the doctors think he will die, but still provide hope that you can trust God to heal him? I wondered if God would still perform a miracle, even though things look so bleak. I prayed, how will you ever get the glory, Lord, if Todd is not healed? Of course, Todd immediately wanted to know the purpose behind the meeting the doctors had called. We told Todd that the scans revealed that another tumor was growing and there was nothing more the doctors could do for him. However, David and I quickly assured him that his days were in God's hands and we would trust him. At first, he looked a little scared, but then we told him we were finally getting out of the hospital for good and going home. We told him the surgeon was going to remove his chest tube and feeding tube once and for all. It had caused him so much pain, and it was clogged again. The fear immediately left his face, and he was thrilled. When the surgeon removed the feeding tube, Todd immediately smiled and said, wow, I feel so much better. It was almost as if he had gotten this newest diagnosis all wrong. Still, we were very quick to say goodbye to the hospital personnel. It was almost impossible for me to speak. Everyone knew why we were leaving. I was heartbroken, and all I could pray was, "Now what, Lord?" Even though we had just received devastating news, it was wonderful to be home. My eyes were puffing and swollen from crying, but Todd had a smile from ear to ear. He was finally home. The next day, I texted one of Todd's oncologists and asked him how long he thought Todd had to live. He told me he could only guess maybe a few months, but really, his death could occur any time. Since the tumor was in his vena cava, it could rupture without advance warning. I prayed that when Todd died, it would be peaceful and not catastrophic as the surgeon had predicted in our last meeting. Every night, I tiptoed into his room and put my finger under his nose to make sure he was still breathing. There was a battle going on in my heart. How was I supposed to accept reality, yet have faith in God's power to heal? How do you reconcile those two opposing thoughts? I tried very hard to live one day at a time because God only gives us strength for one day, not for any day in advance. Honestly, part of me was fearful, but part of me still expected a miracle. Not because I thought we deserved one, but because the Bible proved that God performed miracles if you just had faith. All throughout Todd's battle with cancer, literally thousands of people prayed for his healing. I never demanded that God heal my son, but I pleaded and I trusted with as much faith as I had in my heart that even though this situation was bleak, the Lord could and maybe would heal him. I thought that maybe God would show his power by swooping down and triumphantly snatching Todd from the brink of death. I claimed every verse on healing I could. I prayed those verses back to God. The journey was difficult, and I had to call on my faith as never before. Was I going to trust God's plan for Todd's life, even when it might be the opposite of my plan for his life? The Lord continually proved his faithfulness to me all throughout my life, but could I trust him now, even with the life of my precious son? This was definitely shaking faith. The Lord had some more powerful lessons prepared for me in the weeks and months to come, but in order to find the peace that my heart desperately longed for and needed to have, I would need to set aside my agenda and place myself under the will and authority of God alone. This would be a journey that would take time, trust, surrender, and it would be the toughest road the Lord ever asked me to walk.